Our lesson this morning goes back a little while. We've already experienced the Lord's Supper, and we've remembered the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And today, I want us to be eyewitnesses of something that happened right before and right after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I want you and I to be eyewitnesses with the apostles. We remember the apostles. Jesus taught them daily. He told them some things very, very important. He wanted them to remember these things. And you know what? He was serious about it. Those apostles were just like us. They were mere human beings. Do you feel like an apostle this morning? We're buying a little time here. Y'all just bear with me. I don't feel like an apostle, but I feel like a real human being. And I believe right before Jesus went back to heaven, I believe the apostles were feeling just as much a human being as you and I are this morning. We don't think of ourselves as being really unusual, and I don't believe the apostles did. In fact, we're going to see as we begin our lesson here momentarily. I believe we've got something coming now. We're going to see that these apostles, they've listened to Jesus. They've heard what He said. Jesus said, "I'm going to build a kingdom. I am your king. I am your Lord. I will lead you. I want you to help me with this." The apostles had a really awesome responsibility. And you and I this morning, in our minds, we can be eyewitnesses to that. And we can see that they were understanding a little bit of it, but they were misunderstanding a whole lot of it. Those people, those apostles, thinking the human side, just like you and I, they were thinking an earthly kingdom. And they were thinking, man, you know, this is great. Jesus is our king. And you know what? When we get down and we look at what happened right before Jesus went back to heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner. In like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" These apostles, right before this has happened, they've heard Jesus, you know, give them some last minute instructions. He says, "Now y'all go back and y'all stay at Jerusalem and wait until you receive the Holy Spirit and you're endowed with power." But I think they were still feeling like human beings, like you and me. Because what they said was, "Well, Lord, are you about to start your kingdom? Are you setting up your kingdom?" They're still thinking earthly. And I think you and I find ourselves thinking earthly also. It's real hard for us to get beyond this life. But Jesus is telling them, y'all be ready. Now, it was amazing to me, if you notice there in verse 10, when Jesus was taken up from them, those apostles were standing there looking, and they were just gazing. And I suspect if you and I were there, I mean, we would just be at awe. Jesus is taken up, and he disappears in the clouds. Wow! You think they felt human? there were two men in white standing beside them and told them, said, look, just as you saw Jesus taken up into heaven, he's going to come back that way someday. I suspect as a human being, they probably didn't really grasp that. They saw him go up, but they're just amazed. But you know what? Jesus is coming back. He said he would, and he will. We think of this life. We forget everything else. Sometimes we're just caught up in it. But I want you to know Jesus is coming back. And you and I will see him. We were not eyewitnesses there with the apostles when we saw him going up. But you and I will see him when he returns. In Revelation 1, verse 7, he says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. Now, if you stop and think, if every eye is going to see Jesus when he comes back, that includes you. And that includes me. And I want you to notice this verse says, even those people that pierced him, those people that crucified Jesus are going to see him when he comes back. We will be eyewitnesses to that. And we won't miss it. We don't know when that's going to be. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We realize that it is like a farmer planting seeds and he waits for the time of the harvest. You and I know that Jesus has promised, I'm coming back. We don't really know when. We can't gauge it even as close as the farmers can as to when their produce is going to be coming in. Their harvest is generally a certain time. You and I don't really know that. But we know it's coming. We know it's certain. Jesus has promised. We just don't know when. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it's going to be like nothing that you and I have ever seen. It will be even greater than when Jesus went up into heaven the first time. That must have been an awesome sight. And our imagination could take us back there and we can just see Jesus disappearing, going away in the clouds. But he's coming back in that same way. And it's going to be like nothing we've ever seen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 13 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition unto godly men, ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Here we can see it will be like nothing we've ever seen. It's so important that we realize there's lots of things going to happen. He's going to go and say, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting for the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, burned on fire, and elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which he dwells. When Jesus comes again, the things that we know of on this earth are going to change drastically. There's going to be a of removal of this. It's going to be burned with fervent heat. Elements that we are seeing around us are going to be gone. We, thank goodness, are about to see really great things. But you know, I mentioned we don't know when, but the Father does. Only the Father knows when this is going to happen. Matthew 24, verses 35 and 36 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels, but my Father only." That's Jesus talking, and he's saying, you know, God knows. But I don't know. We don't know. Now I want you to shift gears a little bit, and I want to tell you, don't worry about it. Is that easy to say? Don't worry about it. Oh, your world's about to be burned up. It's going to be taken away. Don't worry about it. From a human standpoint, that's kind of hard, isn't it? John chapter 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And I will go, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Want to know how we stop worrying? Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. We just read in another verse that heaven and earth pass away, but my words are not. And God has promised us that He will give us, there will be a new heavens and a new earth. There will be a new place prepared for us. That's a promise from Jesus. So important. So we don't have to worry about the things that are going on in this life to the point that it shouldn't make us distraught. We shouldn't worry. We should be looking forward to that time. It's no problem if we're in Christ. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 says, "If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." That's easy to say. It's not easy for us to do. Just like those apostles were thinking Jesus is going to, He's going to set up His kingdom right here on this earth. That's not what Jesus had in mind. You and I have trouble. We have to think beyond this world. We have to think. Jesus is saying, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's not down here. You and I are only here temporarily." You know, if we live to be 100 years old, it's nothing compared to eternity that we have waiting on us. So, I would remind us, don't worry about it. No problem if we're in Christ. There's another thing that kind of strikes me. Not only is Jesus going to prepare a place for us, but we're also told that we should be like Him. I asked you earlier, do you feel super? I feel like a human being. I have pain and agony. I bet Robert can tell you what pain and agony is. I meant to mention at the beginning of the service, some of you probably expected him to be up here. He said last week, "I don't think I'm quite up to it yet." So I'm trying to fill in for him this morning. I'm honored to do so. But you know, pain and agony is something that we go through in this life. Jesus suffered pain and agony in this life. When He was here, He suffered some awful things. As we commemorated with the Lord's Supper. But He even suffered a lot before then. But we're told that we should be like Him. Now I want you to notice 1 John 3, verse 2. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." That should be an encouragement right there. When we see Jesus coming again, we're going to be changed. In 1 Corinthians 15, that whole chapter has a lot to say about these. But we're told that we'll be given an incorruptible body, not a painful agony thing that we're going through and we're living in right now. We're going to be given a new body. We're going to be like, it'll be a body like that of the glorious body of Jesus. Now let that soak in just a minute. Doesn't that sound like something really good? That is something I look forward to. And we all have that to look forward to. We don't need to be worrying. We need to be looking for that day. We need to be thinking. When I look up in the clouds, especially on a day when it's moderately clear, but there's a few clouds up there, I just think, boy, I can just see Jesus coming. He could be coming out of that cloud right there. You and I can think of things like that because of these promises. And He could be coming and we'll be changed. We'll have a different body. We won't be going through all the pain and agony that we have in this life. We won't have all the troubles and the trials. Those things are past. We have something to look forward to. I like to look at it this way. We'll be moving up. We'll be moving out of this world. We have something really great to look forward to. And I don't care how old or how young you are in this auditorium right now. It'll be here before we know it. It'll be here before we know it, and we can look forward to it, and we ought to look forward to it. We ought to just be thrilled because Jesus has promised this for you and for me. It's so important. Don't be down and doom and gloom is one of those things. You know, we have to go through it sometimes. Yes, we do. But that's not the end of it. That's just this part of this world. We have something else to look forward to. And we're going to be moving up out of this world. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body," here we go again, "who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." Our citizenship is not down here. We're citizens of the United States of America. I'm proud of that. But you know what? That doesn't hold a candle to being a citizen of God, of heaven. That is so important. And we need to be thinking about that now. While we're still here on this earth, we are citizens of heaven. That's why Jesus came from heaven, came down to earth, died and gave Himself for us. Because we don't belong here. He's getting ready to take us to where we really do belong. We belong in heaven. We're just getting ready to go there. I mentioned that it'll be like nothing we ever saw. But you know what? We'll be all right. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning verse 16, going on through chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." We all know that thief doesn't put a little email to you or a little post-it note on your door or on your refrigerator says, "I'm going to be coming tomorrow night." Nope. Thief doesn't do that. Nor does Jesus give us a little note saying, "Tomorrow I'm coming." We don't know. We don't know. But we'll be all right. Oh, will we? Now I want to stop and do a little soul searching. And I want you to do the same thing. Number one, are we in Christ? We mentioned that if you're in Christ, everything's okay. Number two, are we trying to be faithful? Are we really doing what God has asked us to do, or at least trying? None of us are perfect. I'm so thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. I don't do everything that I want to do and I need to do. But you know what? God expects me to be trying. And God expects you to be trying. That's the part you and I can do. Jesus paid the price when He died for us. He's the one that gets all the credit. But you and I do have a part to play. And we have to be trying to serve Him. In John chapter 5, verse 24 through 29, says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:2 we mentioned earlier? "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night." We don't know when he's going to come. We just know he's coming. The key is, are we doing those things that will bring glory and honor back to God? Are we pleasing him as best we can? That's the part you and I need to be at addressing and looking at for ourselves. The time to get ready is right now. Are you in Christ? If you're not, unfortunately, the future doesn't look so bright. And we do have something to worry about if we're not in Christ. If you're in Christ and you're trying to serve Him faithfully, you have all the world to look forward to. And I want you to think this morning about your eternal destination, because it's there. We're all going to be in one place or another. And you and I need to realize that we have to be in Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that's the foundation that all this is built on. If you don't have that, none of the rest really makes a lot of difference. But if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you repent of your sins, you're sorry that you did those things, and you're baptized into Christ. I didn't put in confession, but we do make the good confession of faith. But we're baptized into Christ. That puts us in that good relationship. That's the one we want to be in. Then we just have to continue to serve Him. Do the best we can all of our life. The grace and mercy of God will take care of the rest. That's our lesson for this morning. Jesus is coming back, and you and I will see Him. Will it be a happy time for you? Or will it be a sad time? It will be one or the other, because we're going to know how we've lived. And when we see Him, it'll be too late. We will have waited too long. The time to get ready is right now. If you're in any way subject to the Lord's invitation, please come as we stand and sing.